The year was 1991. I was a newlywed and making my application for my internship year. And I checked off this bold statement on my internship application that indicated I was willing to go anywhere. Well, in the minds of my seminary classmates, there were two places which meant anywhere. One was a congregation in Hawaii, which some lucky soul would get, and the other was a three-point parish in northeastern South Dakota, in the corner of that state. Well, on the day that our assignments got posted, everybody was wondering who got Hawaii and who got South Dakota. Who was going to surf on their days off and who was going to get an engine block heater so that they could start their car 4 months out of the year. Well, I have three memories of fishing experiences from my year of internship in South Dakota. One was this. It was an introduction to ice fishing. Not in the glamorous ice condos you see on TV that have big couches and wet bars. No, none of that. I was sitting inadequately dressed in 10-degree weather with a man named Glenn on two plastic 5-gallon buckets. No fish were caught that day, but I think I caught a cold. And another memory was with my wife, fishing in a stream behind a lake at Custer State Park. And wow, we made out like bandits. But it is the third story of fishing that aligns most closely with this gospel story today. Mildred had been trying to line up for some time for me to go fishing with her husband, Clarence. You see, Clarence and Mildred liked to fish, and they often were out there in their little John boat. The two of them would go at least two times a week. But she had noticed that Clarence had lost his passion for fishing. He'd lost his passion for just about everything since they lost their adult son to cancer. She thought it might do him some good to lead me out to one of their honey holes on the lake and have some fun and give me a taste of the fishing that was to be had in their home state. Well, eventually, the stars would align and the lakes would thaw, and we headed out one crisp spring morning, drove out to the lake, got that little craft in the water, cranked up that 8-horse motor, and we were off. Clarence led me from honey hole to honey hole, and there were no fish willing to give us the time of day. Clarence was a quiet man. But after about 2 hours of not catching anything, he began to open up about how utterly empty life was without his adult son. They had spent many hours in that same boat. They were more than fishing buddies. They were confidants. They had shared an intimacy, oftentimes that didn't even include words. They so knew what each other were thinking. Well, young green seminary intern that I was, I didn't have wisdom to offer, no grand words of consolation. But you know, I was just a listening ear that day. Out there in the mist of the morning, Clarence opened up and shared what he'd obviously been holding back. He said he knew he had turned to the bottle more frequently than to the Lord, and that this had been a problem for Mildred. I was beginning to see that Mildred had a deeper motive in all this than just sending the vicar out to catch some fish. And catch fish we did not. Perhaps the Lord thought Clarence needed the time out there to divest himself more than to haul in a load of fish. And he did, and I had no idea until later just how much that day on the water meant. Eventually, we grew tired of trying to catch what obviously wasn't interested in being caught, and Clarence started up the motor. But before he did, he put a spoon lure on the rod for me to cast. Well, I looked at that spoon lure, and I had doubt written all over me. It looked like a lure that was past its prime. It looked like it needed to be retired. It was a red and white spoon bait, and the paint on it was dry and sunbaked and not shiny in the least, and half the paint on the lure was missing. But he cast it out there for me farther than I could have ever cast it for myself. And he said, "Now listen, just hold on to it as I ride us around on our way back." Well, about 5 minutes after dragging that spoon behind us, when I was thinking, this really is not lucrative, there in that moment, whoosh, a sizable walleye went for it and was hooked. He got the net, I reeled it in. It didn't break any state records, but it was the biggest fish that I had ever caught, probably 8 pounds or so. We got home and Clarence cleaned it up. Mildred fried some of it and we ate, almost giddy at that last minute whopper walleye. And there was plenty of fish to send home with me for a future fry. And Mildred told me that a smile was a permanent fixture on Clarence's face for weeks. The Lord was out there that day on the water. We couldn't see him, but you could know it. It was abundantly clear that Jesus was present, healing the wounds that a skirmish with death had wrought, filling us with a joyful abundance when we thought we were done. You know what? It's precisely when we feel like we're done, when we are frustrated and fed up, that failure seems to be the only available option, that is when Jesus greets us from the shore and gives us an abundance beyond what we thought we'd ever find. It was a charcoal fire around which Peter was warming his hands, remember, when he denied Jesus? And it was a charcoal fire that fed and forgiven he was around when he expressed his love for the Lord and vowed to serve him, even knowing that it would lead to a certain death at the hands of others. You know, when that disciple said, "It is the Lord," Simon Peter did not hesitate to jump into the waters and swim toward Jesus. I think that's some perfect baptismal imagery right there. Despite, you know, he must have felt some shame that he had betrayed Jesus 3 times. And yet, he leapt into the water to meet the risen Lord on the shore. Like Peter, through the waters of baptism, you and I know that we can approach Jesus despite our sin, despite our brokenness, despite how we've let him down, that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, that despite our sin, he loves us. He restores us and sends us out to share love with others. That love we ourselves have received from him firsthand. Easter's tide just keeps rolling in an abundance of treasures on our shores. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.